Chariot Solutions TechCast number 30, an interview with Squarespace.com's Anthony Casalena. On today's show, an interview I recorded with Squarespace.com's Anthony Casalena. Squarespace is a web content hosting provider based out of New York City, and it's receiving rave reviews at the moment. After trying them out and being impressed with the way they approach their user interface design and overall usability, I decided to research their technology. Turns out that Squarespace is a grid-based web application solution hosted on a Java application server platform. I asked Anthony to come on the show to talk about the technology behind the application server. A quick disclosure, Chariot has recently begun a sponsorship with Squarespace, mostly because I'm happy with the product and it's a good fit for sponsoring the show. So this may seem like an infomercial, but the interview was lined up before the actual sponsorship took form. Here's Anthony. So actually, where I heard of you, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and specifically the one I listen the most to is it's MacBreak Weekly and This Week in Tech, the Leo Laporte podcast. And, you know, I've been doing my own blogs and other people's blogs and websites for a long time, usually with a VPS, usually with WordPress, just because it's what I know. I tried a trial, and it just blew me away. I think I imported my site in, like, I don't know, five minutes. I had everything in. I was tweaking things, doing style sheet modifications and everything. Yep. Tell me how you approached putting Squarespace together. And, you know, it looks like there's a whole lot of work that went into the user interface.
Yeah, there is. It's an immense amount of work there. See, I'm like you. You know, I started 5 years ago, and I'm a programmer as well. But, you know, my goals when publishing online are not to make things more complex than they need to be. I just wanted to kind of – I mean, Squarespace started with me, you know, creating a personal website for myself. And it started with, you know, just putting together a blogging platform and a photo gallery and some other stuff and just realizing that – it wasn't really going to work in the end for me because I was going to have all these disparate systems, all these plugins, all this crap. Yeah. And I just didn't want it. So I started writing Squarespace, which was, you know, the intent was to replace like seven other things at once. and that was 5 years ago. And I didn't actually intend for it to be a company at first until I showed one of my friends it. And he's like, oh, well, can I have that for my website too? And I'm like, all right, you know, I guess a lot of people are having issues with this and it's a big deal. And this would be kind of fun to work on. So yeah. You know, I turned my own problem into a company. And
yeah, they always say that's kind of the best way to build something. If you've got a passion or you've got an interest or you've got a pain that you're running through, being true to yourself and what you're interested in is usually the best way to get you motivated to do a really good job at it. So hats off to you guys on that.
Thanks. I don't even understand any other way to go about it. I think people sometimes sit down with these like problems that aren't theirs and they go and try and solve it. I mean, just from my experience, the amount of work that has to go in when you're unpaid to solve something like that is just immense, you know? So
absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the technology because I've heard and did some research that you're running on a Java platform.
So I come from a primarily C++ like library design sort of background a very, very long time ago. Very long time ago. and I moved into Java and stuff as time moved on. But, you know, when building Squarespace, I started with Tomcat and just, you know, Java 1.5 and actually completely avoided Spring and all these other frameworks because I really didn't understand what they were going to do for me. I really didn't need help doing that part of things. You know, it seemed like they had all these things to, you know, help me validate and submit forms, but it didn't really work the way I wanted it to. And all these things to map like URLs to servlets via a file descriptor, but then I had to edit like four files to do it. You know, it's just everything in Squarespace's backend is one of the major design goals is to try and keep it so there's zero configuration. So I really, really, anytime there's a framework there and it's like, oh, here's some XML files edit, I'm like, forget this. You know, it's just not really going to happen. There's got to be a really, really compelling reason for me to, you know, jump in and do that kind of stuff. So on the back end of Squarespace, it's Tomcat 5.5, Java 1.5, a custom framework developed that actually, you know, it's all in the buzz right now, but it works a lot like Ruby on Rails does in the sense of like zero configuration and stuff like that. We use OJB, the Apache project, for the persistence layer, although Hibernate's great as well. And we have a custom modeler built that basically runs through, so to model things into OJB, again, me hating writing XML files, I actually go in and model things in a database first and then run a script, and then it outputs the proper OJB config. It imports, you know, it makes the right Java class files. It all builds them into a nice package, and then it imports it into the library and into the Squarespace system. So it tries to remove configuration wherever possible, and it does that in the custom framework as well. When we're talking about like a kind of Ruby on Rails-ish thing, it actually maps things from the URL directly to objects in the class path, and executes servlet actions based on those. So those two things use, actually, we have a lot of like, it's like the weird decisions. Like we use a lot of things that a lot of people aren't used to. We use SQL Server on the back end, which is one of my like all-time favorite database projects ever. I'm in love with SQL Server, incredible, incredible thing. I mean, in the 5 years we've relied on SQL Server, it goes through, I mean, you know all the things that can happen when you're building an application.
Like absolutely.
You have some loops that are screwed up, and it just decides to write, hit it with a billion queries and all this sort of thing. And SQL Server, it just, no matter what you throw at it, it will be fine. You know, it'll just be totally fine. It can sit there at 100% CPU, and then you're like, oh, God, I got to turn the app off so it lives. And then you turn it off, and it's just okay. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
You know, just rock solid, great backups, great analysis tools, amazing platform. In the Java layer, we also use something called Coherence, which was a company called Tangasol that got purchased by Oracle.
Oh, Cameron Purdy's company.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a way to think about it is like imagine Memcache built into all wrapped up in just a Java map object, and mm-hmm. then you know just auto partitioning, auto scaling, auto distributed, just a dream come true caching and memory sharing product. So we use that. What else do we rely on? Probably like a billion things from the Apache Foundation.
Sure.
You know, and that's a good overview, I think. And you know, it's also about the fringe cases. You know,
yeah.
We use MySQL in various parts of our environment. It's a great product, but we've had MySQL databases, you know, become unrecoverable.
Yeah.
And we knew that was going to happen, and we have problems backing them up sometimes, and we have performance things, we have schema updating issues, and we have, you know, it's just, it's all in the fringe cases. It's not just like you can compare SQL Server to MySQL by installing it and running it for a year.
No.
Under like some low load, and I'm sure they're all fine there. But it's with all these more advanced things you need to do, and when the data evolution and everything else comes into play, it's kind of the product's time to shine.
Now, you have a lot of big names starting to use this platform. So, you know, in terms of scalability, when you get a Kevin Rose or a Saren Lane or a Kevin Pereira or someone like that, yeah. I'm sure that's going to do all sorts of interesting things to your traffic. And you'd mentioned something, or at least you or your cohort Dane had mentioned something along the lines of a cloud technology or grid technology you're using.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's founded on the basis of it is Coherence.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the way Squarespace works is there's like all these different caching tiers built in. There's a tier that caches the fully rendered page. There's a tier that caches the rendered widgets. There's a metadata tier that caches like common things that are, you know, usually needed to construct an average page and all this sort of thing. And via Coherence, you get this scalable distributed cluster that you can build up. And basically, you know, all this traffic comes in, and we've kind of got this fabric of web servers that run. And everyone's hosted using all the web servers at once. Nobody's on like a particular server. And every web server can handle a hit for any site at any time. So, you know, and it's actually really surprising how fast Squarespace is on the back end sometimes. For probably 3.5 years or so, it was 4 web nodes.
You can.
And up to about a few months ago, it was 6.
Wow.
So 6 web nodes, and that's Kevin Rose's site, all these other hosts' site, our front site, and, you know, tens of thousands of other people on those same nodes with, you know, very, very, very high performance. And it's just due to caching the right things, and relying on a tier and relying on a product like Coherence that can evenly distribute everything across your JVMs.
Now, I alluded to this earlier when I was saying that my experience in porting, you do seem to have a nice selection of templates. They're well-designed. They look really good. But I also really am amazed at how you made, you know, style sheets easy to edit without really thinking about editing a style sheet. How did you come up with that? That was just a fantastic user interface.
Initially, we just called out a few things in the style sheet and let users edit those things. Because, I mean, in the early days of Squarespace, I mean, the whole thing got started by just launching it. And, you know, having $100 to spend on Google AdWords and getting like three customers to sign up and just asking them, like, why did you sign up? Excellent. And then asking the people who left, like, why did you leave? Mm-hmm. And both sides of that are equally as important, by the way. Not only asking people why they left, but why they paid. I feel like a lot of times people don't actually know why their product is selling the way they think it is. Mm-hmm. But back then, when we were just asking people what they wanted to do, and I was also answering all the support tickets, it's pretty easy to see what people want to do with the system. So, you know, what people wanted to do was move things around, change things. So a long time ago, I had a bunch of selectors that were, you know, pulled out that people could modify, but it was always kind of confusing to people. And basically, that selector list eventually expanded greatly, and I don't know. People were always like, "Oh, what if you could just click on something up top and move it around?" And I'm like, for a long time, I was like, "Impossible, impossible, impossible." And then, you know, one day, kind of like clicked a little bit, and I'm like, "Wait, it's probably not impossible. I could just, you know, look at the tree of things they clicked on up top and see how it matches up to our selector list." And it ended up working pretty well. And then, you know, just trying to push the envelope with when styles and stuff are edited, re-injecting those in the top, in the primary style sheet, just kind of took shape.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, for anyone who's curious about it, if you do a trial, and you can just modify column widths and everything just by kind of dragging little sliders, and so that's really interesting.
That one's a little bit more amazing, because what we do is we actually, on the back end, allow people to define variables in the style sheet. Mm-hmm. And when you move that slider, it actually finds impacted selectors, recomputes the equation, and re-injects the equation with everything computed on the top frame as that slider. So that's what's giving you that real-time preview. It's that's one of the things I'm most proud about at Squarespace. It's really, really cool.
And that sold me on it. I said, oh, that's all I have to do to modify my blog? Okay, I'm done. So
Yeah, that's the thing with our templates. It's hard to get across sometimes. It's like, oh, but they only have X templates. But it's like, wait a sec. These templates are every column variant available, every width is available, every color can be changed. Like, they're a lot in one. It's not like a static template that you have to change the code on.
So. Right. Now, so, you know, as if you're a blogger and you're mostly doing just the content, it's very, very direct and makes a whole lot of sense. There are a lot of people that do WordPress and they kind of tinker around with widgets. Sometimes I think we tinker around with widgets because we're tired of doing the content.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the widgets will be things like aggregating someone else's RSS feed, you know, integrating with like Google, you know, like a Google Reader or something like that and sipping their feed. Right now, you're kind of off limit to doing any server-side development code for obvious reasons, but you are launching a developer program. So what were you thinking in terms of what is a developer, quote-unquote, to you on the site? What kind of things would they be allowed to do when you get that out?
Well, the developer program is mostly centered around, you know, multiple account management and handling client billing. Mm-hmm. What we strive to do, and kind of one of the whole points of Squarespace, it goes back to, you know, I was saying my initial story about, oh, I hate integrating these different platforms, is that I think 95% of sites, 90% of sites in a certain category can be solved using maybe 20 or 30 different building blocks. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can provide those building blocks and make them scalable and make them good, you really don't need to rely on many external plugins. Although we don't really stop you from integrating your own plugins. For example, you can embed whatever JavaScript widgets you want. If you're a developer, you can write something on another server and iframe it in. People do this all the time. And people sometimes cringe at that and they're like, oh, you know, well, that's not elegant. But it's a lot more elegant to have the Squarespace system running and have it ultra scalable to a point where you can never engineer yourself and then to iframe in this one potentially unreliable part of the system than to try and remake that all yourself.
Well, yeah, it kind of works the same way. Maybe not exactly, but you're on Facebook, for example, and you want to play some stupid game or poke somebody in the eye.
Exactly,
you click a button.
Like that.
You're just going to another site anyway. And
it's
a lot
exactly
of those,
like,
right. Yep. A lot of those sites are things like their Google Apps engine things or whatever.
So. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we need to keep that model for the same reason Facebook keeps that model. And that is that if you allow developer code to be run on your systems, you can no longer ensure your systems will be stable, which I'm sure everyone who's been in shared hosting understands innately.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. So that's the benefit. You know, I mean, you're not installing some weird untrusted plugin. There's no one else doing that. It's going to stay up. It's going to be fine. I mean, you talk about the Kevin Rose stuff on the system. His account is not a special account. I mean, if he wasn't a sponsored account, we obviously sponsor his account, but it would cost him like $14 a month.
That's a lot different than working on a VPS, and it makes sense that you're on a grid to do something like that.
You know, and we fight a lot actually in the marketplace because there's a lot of companies out there that claim like, oh, this is a grid solution, this is a grid architecture, and that word is just getting thrown around like crazy.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a distinction made between things that actually are scaled like a grid, like things like S3, and then people who have shared hosting and they just put a bunch of boxes next to each other and it looks like a grid. And you really just have to do, I'm super pleased that your experience has been so well, because I mean that's how you overcome that marketplace noise. People actually using it and you know, being like, wait, this isn't what I used before. It's not what you think. It's not what you think. It's not all the marketing words. Like, it actually worked, you know? So
yeah,
that's how it works. And I mean, as a company that has no outside investors, aside from a couple like 30 grand from my parents a long time ago, you know, that is absolutely critical. I mean, when I was saying about, you know, putting $100 in AdSense, I mean $100, like it wasn't more. So, you know, you had to make it go. So,
yeah. And I think it can be problematic. We ran a cloud conference this fall, you know, to bring people in to talk about cloud computing. And you had all sorts of technologies. Like, we were talking to people who were using, you know, Amazon EC2, and they were doing Hadoop and all sorts of, you know, really interesting technologies on top of that. But then you have a lot of vendors that want to come in and talk about software as a service. And at some point, you look at them and say, well, how do I trust that you're really doing a quote unquote cloud or grid architecture? Because
right.
It's completely behind and it's not, you know, it's opaque to you.
Yep, exactly.
So what are you guys looking at doing down the road with this? Where are you taking them? Obviously, you want to keep the experience moving the same way. You're not going to move into having, you know, server-side Java code. But, you know, what are we looking at in the next 6 months to a year that you're really interested in and hot on?
Well, one of the exciting things that we're coming out with pretty soon, and I almost never talk about features that are coming out, because we kind of have this, I don't know if you're familiar with the game company Blizzard.
Yeah.
It's the most infuriating but best part about Blizzard is that they will not release any deadlines for anything ever, because they just need the time they need to get it to work right?
Them and Apple, yeah.
Them and Apple. And we've adopted a similar thing. You know, sometimes customers will write in and they'll be like, oh, if, you know, you could only tell me when X is coming out, I would buy it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a hardline stance on this. Assume it's never coming. You know, buy it for now. Assume nothing ever changes. And you'll always be happy because, you know, you're buying for now and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That said, you can see some demos of what's coming out on sites like live.squarespace.com, which is some of our live streaming components built in. So basically, Squarespace has been very insulated from participating in other social networks and stuff like that up until now. And what we're going to kind of start doing is being able to aggregate stuff from a lot of different networks and pipe them into widgets in your site, pipe them into journals in your site, and do that in a very quick fashion. So if you actually look at live.squarespace, you're going to see my Twitter, my Flickr, my blog, Tyler's Twitter, Tyler's Flickr, Tyler's blog, something for everyone in the company. I mean, it's coming in from maybe 20 or 30 sources, and the site's going to load in a split second because we're not doing it with silly things like JavaScript. You know, it's actually pulling that data in on the back end, and it's formatted into the Squarespace system. So those kind of social widgets and live streaming features, I'm pretty excited about. Developer accounts, ways to manage multiple accounts in one, is entering beta as we speak. iPhone app, I have another beta coming this morning towards my phone. It's going to be really spectacular. It's going to be like an interface like nothing people are, you know, used to.
You're talking about an iPhone publishing application?
Yeah, just a way to manage your site statistics and everything from your iPhone.
Oh, very nice.
important. We're starting to go out, we're starting to development on things like dashboard widgets, all these other little things we've kind of let go by the wayside while we focused on the core system. And that said, you know, I have a list, you know, 80 things long of things on the core system that I'm still unhappy with, that that need to be refactored and refocused and fixed. Things like media insertion right now in the system I'm not really thrilled with. We have somebody working on a new interface for that as well. And also in the sense of cloud hosting and stuff like that, we're doing hyper-powered blog importing systems that I would say it's a little sensational, but don't lie. You know, if you get a blog export file, right, and you need to import your blog to another system, it seems like you've got all the data, and it seems pretty good. But then we all know what the elephants are in the room. So your images are still hosted somewhere else, and the URLs aren't rewritten. And if you move domains, your URLs aren't going to match what they were before, and yeah, that's a big problem. So we have systems coming out that actually will import from a number of different platforms, all the major platforms, live, rehost your images on S3, map every single URL over and make sure they're all completely coherent so that when you move your site, you can actually move your site. And everything's hosted in the cloud and everything's mapped properly and it's all done and it's all correct and it should be seamless. So stuff like that coming out. And then, of course, the thing powering that is an S3 interface. So we want people to be able to upload files to S3 and also as a corollary, CloudFront, right from their Squarespace account, which would be really, really easy access to a CDN, which would be awesome. So stuff like that's in the works.
Do you have people hosting podcasts? It seems like you have enclosure attachments and things like that. And if they are, do you find that, you know, how do you compete with something like a Libsyn?
Well, that's where our S3 stuff's really going to come in, where if you've got a large file. By the way, and Squarespace's backend right now is not, we say this all over the place, it is not optimized for large file hosting.
Right.
So you can host a large file anywhere and link everything in. That's good. Right now, the interface, the app's not, it's not optimized for large files.
Hence the CloudFront and S3 and things like that, right?
Right. That said, that's why we're going in that direction because, you know, we want CloudFront and S3 is the perfect solution because, you know, you can throw things on S3. It's cheap. It's good enough for a long time. But if you get real traffic, you really need to go on a CDN,
yeah,
you know? And if you're not, you're fooling yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. So providing that interface is something that will happen within the next 2-3 months from us. But again, you know, nothing's preventing you from podcasting with Squarespace right now. In fact, we have tie-ins to all the XML tags for iTunes and everything else that you need. It's just we won't host the files right now. The best thing we can do is just be upfront and be like, all right, it's good for this, it's not good for this, and here's our plans for the future, and this is what you should do. And we'll always give you a good solution, but you know, we won't play any games.
All right, well, Anthony, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today. It was a very insightful interview and got a lot of information.
Awesome. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks to Anthony from Squarespace.com for coming on the show. As Squarespace is now a show sponsor, if you sign up for a free trial and are happy with what you see, use the promotional code TECHCAST, all one word, to receive a 10% discount on your monthly rate. Our podcast theme is Free Theme Number 3 from PodcastThemes.com. You can visit our website, TechCast.ChariotSolutions.com, for show notes and downloads of all of our past shows. Leave us feedback at TechCastFeedback@ChariotSolutions.com or leave a comment on the show page. For the TechCast, I'm Ken Rimple.